So good evening, everybody. Parshas Matos, this week's parsha, the first of the two parshios this week. Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe lemor, nekom nikmas b'nei Yisrael me'es ha-midyonim achar te'yosef el amecha. Take nikmas b'nei Yisrael, take the revenge of the Jewish people from the Midyanim. The Midyanim were, of course, involved together with Moab in the undermining of the B'nai Yisrael at the story which we read about at the end of Parshas Balak, where the Jewish men were caused to stray after the women of Moab, of Midian, and to go after their Avodah Zarah. Hashem says, take revenge from them, achar te'yosef el amecha, and afterwards you will pass away from this world. Vayidaber Moshe l'am le'mar, Moshe spoke to the people, hecholtzu me'itchem anoshim la'tzava, take from you people for this force, for this army, v'yu al Midyan l'seis nikmas Hashem v'Midyan, and they will be going against Midyan to take the revenge of Hashem against Midyan. And it goes on to define the battle, how the battle will be accomplished, who would lead the battle of the B'nai Yisrael, what their goals would be, and it describes how successfully the B'nai Yisrael accomplished it. The parsha continues for a significant part of the parsha to describe what happened when they came back with the various spoils of war and how they divided it up and how they gave gifts from those spoils of war to the Mikdash. What was asked of them and what was not asked of them. We'd like to focus tonight on this battle a little bit, on just some of the core basic elements of this battle. And I do it in the context, again, of to some degree, I guess, continuing the discussion of last week, separate, but we started last week as we began the parsha of the 3 weeks, the period of the year which leads up to Tisha B'Av, this period of many, many repeated difficulties in Jewish history, starting with the time that the Jewish people received the Torah and proceeded to break the Luchos, and culminating in Tisha B'Av, which of course is the anniversary of when we turned our backs on Eretz Yisrael in the Midbar through the sin of the Meraglim. So this is a period of Golos, and the Parshios which we read, each one you can find hints, ideas, but certainly there are always lessons to be drawn that can inform how we approach the time and the season, and there are lessons from the parsha itself. So that's what I would like to try to focus on today, and specifically to look at a little twist in the psukim, right at the outset of this parsha, to set the tone for it. Nekom nikmas b'nei Yisrael. Hashem tells Moshe that he should take the nekama, the revenge of the Jewish people from the Midyanim. The Jewish people were harmed by the Midyanim, and their revenge needs to be taken. Moshe turns to the people, and in the very next verse he says that they should set aside people for the army, l'seis nikmas Hashem b'Midyan, to take Hashem's revenge against Midyan. So what is it? Is it the revenge of the B'nai Yisrael, of the Jewish people, or is it the revenge of Hashem? Rashi already notes this, and he says, we can transfer from the revenge of the Jewish people to the revenge of Hashem because anyone who stands up to the Jewish people, it is tantamount to standing up against Hashem. And therefore Moshe Rabbeinu was able to make that equation. Now, it's interesting, of course, that Hashem speaks of taking the revenge of the B'nai Yisrael, and Moshe speaks of the revenge of Hashem. It's a beautiful nuance that you would have, that Hashem is worried about his people, and the people are worried about Hashem. Like in every good relationship, even if both people, our parties, are being affected, each party is more worried about the other one than they are about themselves. And that's a little bit of the way this comes across here in this parsha. But Rashi doesn't get into that, into who says what. He gets into the ability to simply transfer from one to the other. That an affront against the Jewish people is an affront against Hashem. that the revenge to be taken by the Jewish people is Nikmas Hashem, is revenge on behalf of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, on behalf of the Ribono Shel Olam. Now, that needs to be explained. It needs to be understood. And it needs to be lived. If we're going to talk now, during this period of time, this time when, yes, we look to some degree internally and we say, Oy mehoyolonu, what has happened to us? All the different trials and tribulations, the suffering, the diaspora, the travels of the Jewish people all over the world, motzoeim lemasaeim, you know, the travels which we read about, another theme of this week's double parsha, always suitable for the days before Tisha B'Av, all the traveling around the Jewish people had to do in the desert while waiting for the clock to run out. So we can think to some degree about what we're missing. But what we have here is a method of looking at what has happened to the Jewish people beyond just licking our own wounds. What we have is a way of translating it all into something happening to Hashem, something happening to the Ribono Shel Olam. That when we're dealing with how the Jewish people were so harmed by Midian, we're dealing with how Hashem, so to speak, was harmed. And that's a different way of framing every experience of the Jewish people, every experience of Klal Yisrael. Instead of it simply being an experience of Klal Yisrael, it being an experience of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this is a very important point that is the one that I want to focus on relative to the 3 weeks and the Parsha tonight.
How many people were in Midian that we ended up?
The battle, we go on, and we say it's Elef Lamata Latzava, L'chol Matos Yisrael Tishlechu Latzava. 1,000 members of each tribe of the Jewish people, for each of the Matos Yisrael, for each of the tribes of the Jewish people were sent to the battle. What does it mean, L'chol Matos Yisrael? Says Rashi, L'rabos Shevet Levi. This was to include the tribe of Levi. Very unusual. Normally, Shevet Levi were not warriors. In last week's Parsha, Parshas Pinchas, we counted all the Jewish people, not for the first time, we counted the people from 20 to 60 who were suitable to go to war. That's the number. That's the age of the Yotzim Latzava. The Bnei Levi were not counted by that measure. They were counted using very different ages. Why? Because the Bnei Levi weren't going out to war. Bnei Levi were not, generally speaking, part of the armed forces of the Jewish people. In this battle of Midian, they were. What was the difference? So the idea, very simply, it's written about by Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky in this Sefer on this week's Parsha, but the idea very, very simply is that this battle was a different kind of battle. The Rambam, when he writes at the end of the laws of Shemitah v'Yovel about the special place of the Levim, he writes, you know, the Levim, they had no portion, no regular portion in the land. They weren't involved in material work in this world. They weren't involved in agriculture, in planting, in zeichem la'atzman b'kayach gufam, to benefit for themselves by physical force, by physical efforts and material endeavors. That wasn't the Bnei Levi. They were set aside to be there for the service of Hashem. And that's why, in the battles which were fought, which were generally speaking battles of conquest, the Bnei Yisrael were going to fight a war to conquer Eretz Yisrael, to take the land for themselves. So the Bnei Levi had no place there. Because that realm of conquering and taking physically things for ourselves, that wasn't Bnei Levi's line of work. However, here, this battle was not a battle about conquest. The battle was Nikom Nikmas Bnei Yisrael Me'ez HaMidyanim. This was a battle about what the Midianim had done to the Jewish people, and was a battle of revenge. That's what it's called. Nekom Nikmas Bnei Yisrael Me'ez HaMidyanim. Take revenge, the revenge of the Jewish people from the Midianim. And the revenge was a revenge of a very specific flavor. The Bnei Yisrael didn't have battles of revenge against nations that had harmed them. They didn't have a battle of revenge against Mitzrayim, even, in a certain sense. The battle of revenge here was because the Midianim had spiritually corrupted the Bnei Yisrael. That was what was being fought here. And in that context, Bnei Levi fight along with the rest of the Bnei Yisrael. Because it was, in a sense, it's not a nice expression for the past little while, but it was a holy war. It wasn't simply a secular war where they were just trying to conquer land, even for loftier purposes. It was a battle which was purely for the restoration of the honor of Hashem, the honor of Hashem as it had been brought down by Midian. And therefore, the Bnei Levi were very much participants within this battle. As we go on in the Parsha, and we see about how the Bnei Yisrael went and fought this battle, so we see that they are led in battle by Pinchas. Pinchas, who was the one who started to act against Midian, right? By his dramatic act of zealotry. This battle was to be a continuation of that. Again, lending this feel to it, that it wasn't a battle which was simply being led by generals. It was a battle of a spiritual nature and for a spiritual purpose. Pasuk goes on and says that they went to the battle, and whatever captives they took and whatever spoils they brought from the war, and the Pasuk says, Vayikhu eskol asholo eskol hamalkoyach v'odamu v'abehema. They took all of the spoils and all of the livestock that they had taken, man, animal, and they brought it to Moshe and Elazar HaKoyen asher al yardin yirechai. They brought it to Moshe and to Elazar. Says Rashi, Vayichu eskol hasholo. Magid, this teaches you. Shayu ksherim v'tzadikim. This teaches you that they were ksherim. They were fine people. They were tzadikim. They were righteous people. Loi nechshedu al hagezel lishloach yad bebiza shaloi bershus. They were not even suspected of extending a hand into the spoils, taking from the spoils without permission. Shenemar, because look what the verse says. Eskol hasholo. They brought it all. Soldiers, 12,000 soldiers, go fighting a battle, going through the tents and the cities of all of these people. And they brought everything before Moshe and Elazar. V'aleim afurash b'kabbalah. And so it says in Ksuvim and Shir Hashirim, Shinayach ke'eder harachelim. Shinayach, your teeth are like those of the lamb. Av anshe amelchama shebech kulam tzadikim. So the Medrash says, even your teeth, even your fighters, the ones who, so to speak, do your biting for you, they are still pure. They are still tzaddikim. And this is essentially important here, of course, in this particular battle. Why don't we learn this in the other battles? We learned a couple of weeks ago about the Battle of Sichon Va'og, where they conquered land. Because there, if somebody was going to take from the spoils for themselves, it's not so gefährlich. It's not so terrible. After all, they were waging war for conquest to take. So if somebody takes, they don't wait exactly for the division. No. It's not a complete contradiction to what's happening on the battlefield. Maybe it would be deviating from the rules a little bit. Maybe everybody's supposed to throw everything into the pot. But they weren't doing something which was fundamentally out of character. That battle wasn't a battle for Hashem in the straightforward sense, was a battle to conquer the land, to defend themselves. It was a material battle. But in this milchama, in this battle, what they were doing was, they were fighting for a higher purpose. They were fighting because of the honor of Hashem. And if they're fighting for the honor of Hashem, so for somebody to go and pocket something along the way, not shy. That would be such a complete and total contradiction. It would be a complete and total contradiction to the whole context of what's trying to be accomplished, of what they are trying to accomplish right here. It's critical for the Jewish people to separate. In certain Sfarim it's written, I think it's based on a language of Chazal, but it's at least found in other more recent Chassidic Svarim, where it says, Hecholtzu me'itchem anashim la'tzava. when it talks about these soldiers, what's the expression which the verse uses? Hecholtzu me'idchem. What does it mean, hecholtzu me'idchem? So, you know the term chalutzim. Right? Chalutzim are pioneers, people who are ready to go. So that's, you would say, that's what it means. You know, they put everything aside and they go. The term lachlotz is to remove. It's to remove. And to some degree, right, that's a pioneer. You know, a pioneer, you know, is not just simply imprisoned by old frameworks. Right? They go and they carve out new terrain. They go to new places. In Sforim it says, Hecholtzu me'itchem. Separate, remove yourselves from yourselves, the Anoshim Latzava. The people who are going out to fight this battle, they have to somehow become disinterested parties. They can't be going in there as fighting for themselves. The whole idea is that they're seeing things on a different level. They're going to fight for something higher, something which is beyond themselves. Now this might sound, I imagine at this point, a little bit remote. So I want to share with you a story, which is Exhibit A of what we're talking about here. Mamish, precisely, I think, a perfect example. There are many examples that we have in Tanakh of this, but this particular one is a poignant, direct example of what I'm trying to talk to you about, and then we'll look at it a little bit more broad. In Sefer Shmuel, the book begins with stories around Eli HaKohen, and you know, Shmuel is born in the beginning of the book. At the time, Eli is the Kohen Gadol. He is presiding over the Mikdash. He has two sons, Chofni and Pinchas, who are not as virtuous as he. And he ultimately is warned that his children would die. The Bnei Yisrael find themselves in a battle against the Plishtim, and the Aron Brit Hashem goes out to the battle for whatever reason, whichever Aron it was. There are all kinds of discussions about it, but there was some Ark of Hashem that went out into the battle. It might have been the actual Aron HaKodesh with the Luchos. It may have been the Aron that contained the Shivrei Luchos, the broken tablets, whatever it was. Here it seems very much the mainstream opinion is that in this case, because of what it leads to, is that this was the real and the regular Aron. And it went out into the battle, and the Aron Elohim Nilkach. And the Aron was taken captive by the Plishtim. This battle did not go well. And the two sons of Eli died, Chofni and Pinchas. So the pasuk says, "Vayoratz ish Binyamin mehamaracha, vayavo Shilo." And a man of Binyamin, ran from the maracha. He ran from the battlefield. Chazal even tell us, as Rashi brings, that this was Shaul. He ran from the battlefield and he came to Shilo, where the Mishkan, where the temple was at that point in time. Umadav kruim v'adam al roishai, his clothing, his uniform was torn, there was dirt on his head, he was very disheveled, and deliberately so. V'yavoy, and he came. V'inei Eli yeshev al akisei. Eli was sitting on his chair, and he was stand there, yad derech mitzapeh. He was sort of near the road in a way where he would be able to see. He was anxious for news from the battlefield. Because he was very afraid in his heart about Hashem's ark. This man was coming with tidings, set the city all on edge. Eli hears the cries, says, "What's going on?" And the man rushed and he told Eli. Eli ben Tishim u'shmeina shana. Eli was 98 years old. At this point he was blind. I am the one who came from the battlefield. I ran from the battlefield today. Vayomer, ma haya hadavar b'ni? What happened, my son? Vayan ha-mevasir vayomer. And the mevasir, the one bearing the tidings, responded, and he said, Nas Yisrael lifnei plishtim. The Jewish people had to flee from before the plishtim. The gamma gefa gedol ha-sabam, and they were very badly stricken, the people. The gam shnei banecha mesum, and your two sons, Eli, they died. Chofni u'pinchas. V'arayim ve'lekim nilkacha. And the orayim was taken. V'hi kaskira es arayim ve'lekim. Says the pasuk, when he mentioned the ark of Hashem, v'yipol me'el akisei achoranes. And he fell off of his chair, backwards, flipped backwards, ba'ad yad hashar, by the gate. V'tishaver mafrakta, and his neck broke. V'yamos, and he died. Hizokanish v'chaved. He died, he was old, he was a little heavy. The fall killed him. You hear what happened? He told him about the battle. Jewish people weren't doing well. His two sons died, and the ark was taken. And it was when he heard that the ark was taken, and he fell and died. In the earlier pasuk, it said, Eli was very nervous. Why was he very nervous? He was very nervous about the Orayim Elokim, about the Ark of Hashem. That was what set him on edge. Right? The way the pasuk expresses it, how it accents it, requires no perush, requires no commentary. It speaks for itself. There were two things which were happening here. There was a battle with a lot of casualties for the Jewish people. And there was Nikmat Hashem. There was the falling of the Aron of the Ark of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That what Hashem had given to the Jewish people should fall into somebody else's hands. You understand that to some degree, this is a second experience of Shriras Haluchos, of the breaking of the tablets. Even if the tablets didn't break, even according to one version of Chazal, when Shaul, the Ish Mibinyamin, came running from the camp of the Plishtim, what happened was, when the Aron was taken captive, he quickly went and somehow grabbed the Luchos from the Aron and spirited them away. Brought them back to the Jewish people. It's not the simple pshat in the pasuk. But what was happening here was that at least the Aron, probably the Aron and the Luchos, were being taken away from the Jewish people again. Again. Last week we commemorated Shavuos Arba Tammuz, a week ago tonight, and we talked about how the Luchos were broken from the Jewish people. Something was taken away in the downfall. And here, the Aron was taken away from the Jewish people. So, when we talked about it last time, we talked about the idea that, you know, if we fall, we can't have the Aron with us. We don't belong with it. So Hashem took it away from us in place. But the flip side of it, the tremendous disgrace which this brings upon HaKadosh Baruch Hu, on Hashem, that instead of His Ark leading the way, His Ark being in the hands of the Jewish people, instead it becomes just another piece of the spoils of war. How this undermines the honor of Hashem in the context of things. And that was what killed Eli Akaya. Not even, le'aleinu rachmano litzlan, heaven forbid, not even the deaths of his own children moved him to the point that this moved him. Nikmas Hashem. This was the way his heart beat. This was the way it moved. That's what we're talking about here in this parsha. When Moshe Rabbeinu calls upon the Jewish people to go to war against Midian, it's not simply, you know, 24,000 Jews died over there in that magefa, in that plague. We got to get back at them for that. We have to show them who's boss. There was something here simply about restoring, through this, the honor of Hashem. The honor of Hashem which was disgraced, which was lost, which had become disassociated from the Bnei Yisrael, from the Jewish people. Yisrael. We're called Yisrael. The name which was eventually given to Yaakov Avinu. It's a name which has built into it the name of Hashem. Sarisa im for Elohim. Right? Whatever princely, regal aspect we have is with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. The name of Hashem is tied up in the name of the Jewish people. And the strength of Hashem is tied up with the strength of the Jewish people. When we gain tremendous redemption at Mitzrayim and we're able to go free from all of that slavery, when did that happen? That happened together with Hashem demonstrating to the Egyptians and to the Bnei Israel as well, and to all the nations that overheard and saw the tremendous power of Hashem. They would all know that I am Hashem. How did they come to know it? They came to know it through the vehicle of the Bnei Israel, of the Jewish people. Our role, which was given to us, which we took to some degree, and which was then given to us and maintained with us, is that through us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was supposed to be able to be seen. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was supposed to be able to be present. And when that's not the case, then that devastates those whose hearts truly beat like those of the Jewish people, the Elis, the Moshe Rabbeinus. Then the personal damage which happens to the Jewish people in the process. What we call simply, in two words, Chilul Hashem. The desecration of the name of Hashem that goes along with the downfall of the Bnei Israel, the downfall of the Jewish people. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam shekol yom In last week's parsha, when the Ribbono Shel Olam had Moshe Rabbeinu do the census, counting the Bnei Israel, counting the Jewish people. So if you recall, as it goes through the tribes, it says, L'Ruvein Mishpachas HaChanochi Mishpachas. It goes and counts each family, and it says, Ha Blanki Hayitzari, whatever it is, everybody is counted as Ha. It doesn't just say the name, it puts a hey in the beginning and a yud at the end. There are two exceptions, two families. One was the family of Yimna and the family of Yishva. There it's not called the family of Hayimni and Hayishvi. Why? Because it starts with a yud and ends with a hey. Says Rashi, because Hashem wanted to sandwich or to envelop everyone in his name, in the name yud and hey. The name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is the name of yud and hey. Why? Because what happened was that the people cast aspersions on this yichus, on this ancestry of the Jewish people. Here we are, we're saying, okay, from this family there are these many, from that family there are that many, as if we have such pure pedigree associated with the Jewish people. So quotes Rashi, because the nations ridiculed them. And they said, what are these people saying that they are attributable to their shvatim, to their tribes? Do they really think that the Egyptians had no control over their mothers? The Egyptians didn't take advantage of the women of the Jewish people. In begufam hayu moslim kal v'chomer b'neshoseihem. If they controlled the Jewish people's bodies, they were able to enslave them, how much more likely that they must have somehow taken advantage of the women of the Jewish people? Lefikach, and therefore maybe these aren't the children of these tribes that they think they are. Lefikach hitil HaKadosh Baruch Hu shmo aleihem. That's why Hashem put his name around them. Hei mitzad zeh, the yud mitzad zeh. A hei on one side, a yud on the other. Loimar to say, Made ani aleihem, I testify about them, that they are the children of their fathers. This was one, indeed, yes, a surprising and great miracle of Mitzrayim, that that didn't happen. Except for that one woman, Shlomis Bas Divri, that we learn about in the Chumash, the one who came out blaspheming. She was, you know, out there, you know, so to speak, asking for it. She was affected by an Egyptian, but none other. They were like Sarah Imenu, who was protected from Paro the first time the Jewish people ever went down to Mitzrayim. So too, all the Jewish women were protected from the Egyptians when the nation went down to Mitzrayim. V'zeu shemefurash al yidei David. And Rashi continues, and this was explained by David HaMelech in Tehillim, when he says, when he's speaking about Yerushalayim, shiftei ka eidus liYisrael hodos l'shem Hashem. There, to Yerushalayim, Olu, they ascended, the tribes of Ka of Hashem, a testament to the Jewish people. That's Kuf Chaf Beis in Tehillim, the third Shir HaMalos. What is it saying? They are the tribes that are, HaKadosh Baruch Hu testifies for the Jewish people, that they are the tribes of the Jewish people, pure and accurate as such, carrying the name of Hashem around them. That's the what Rashi explains. Now this is in Parshas Pinchas, right after the first story of Parshas Pinchas, which was Pinchas is rewarded for what he did. The Jewish people are told to make enemies of the Midianim as a prelude to what they'll be instructed in this week's Parsha to wage war against them. Isn't that interesting? Here you have the story of Pinchas, where it's about exactly that. Not because of imprisonment, not because of the bondage of Mitzrayim, but voluntarily the Jewish men were going after the women of Midian. So when we see that, coming on the heels of that, because you know, in Bamidbar, where it counts the Jewish people the first time out of Mitzrayim, it doesn't put the hay in the yod. It just does it here. Because here, that integrity needed to be restored. And the word which is used is the name of Hashem, as associated with the Shvatim, the families of the Jewish people. To take the name of Hashem, Yud and Hey, and put it around to crown every name of every family of the Bnei Yisrael. To say that Hashem assured their purity. And it's not just a matter of, wow, He kept us free, He didn't have us enslaved in bondage in that way. But it was to maintain the purity, the godliness of the Bnei Yisrael, that He maintained that. And just as in this battle, which Pinchas was fighting to begin with, was because the Midianim were trying very desperately with the Moavim to undermine that, to have the Jewish people not create shiftei ka, tribes that are associated with Hashem, but very much have them completely stray, turn away from that. Hashem has to bring it back. Pinchas has to bring it back. The battle of Pinchas, from the first shot which he fired to the way it's followed through here, is to maintain that association of Hashem with the Jewish people. Tomorrow morning, when we daven, we say on Mondays and Thursdays, we say a long tachnun. Urachum. Long tachnun, it's part of the order of davening. Tachnun is said after tefillah, after Shemona Esrei, tachanunim. Every day that's not an especially joyous day, we say it with nefilas apayim, falling on our arm, falling on our face. On Mondays and Thursdays, we say extra long. The theme, which is recurring there, is when we turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to have compassion, to bring the Jewish people out of their tzaris, out of their difficulties, out of their golos. But what for? For His name's sake. We don't speak about the Ribbono Shel simply having mercy on us because Ribbono Shel, it's been a long, hard 2,000 years. We ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to do it for His name's sake. L'man Shemecha. L'man Shemecha. Ki lo yaltzit kreseinu anach ma'apilu misei. But ki arachamecha arav. Right? But we go further than that. I'm always misquoting that verse. Let me... Boher panecha. Through our sins and the sins of our forefathers, Jerusalem and your nation, they are shamed before all of those who surround us. And now listen, our God, to the prayer of your servant and to his pleadings. And illuminate your face, shine your face upon your desolate Migdash, L'man Hashem, L'man Adonai. For your sake, for the sake of God, and so on and so forth. For your sake, because your name is associated with your city and with your people. We need to somehow learn how to feel the golus of the Shekhinah, how to feel the downfall, so to speak, the exile of the Shekhinah, which went along with us. The lack of the distinction which Hashem has in His world, because we as the Jewish people are down. Because we as the Jewish people are down. When a Jew works in the world, lives in the world, does everything which he does, his goal, our goal, is that somehow through us people will say, ah, they're the Jewish people, they're the people through whom, to whom Hashem gave the Torah. Wow, how great. And whether it is through our voluntary actions, where we bring kavod, honor to Hashem, because we behave in a proper way, so we have, as the verse says, Avdi ata Yisrael asher b'chol hasper, I'm glorified through you because, you know, people admire the way you're behaving. Or whether it is, even in not what we do, but what is done to us. Because when the Jebnei Yisrael are strong, so people will say, ah, you see the people of God. And when the Bnei Yisrael fall, then people say, Le'olein Rachmona Litzlan, like God went to sleep. Where was God? God died at the Holocaust. Who knows what they say? But it's all more than just what happened to the Bnei Yisrael. But it's Nikmas Hashem. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's loss. The battle, which is the paradigm for us to turn the tables, to bring it back, is not the battle of conquest. It's the battle of Nikmas Hashem. It's the battle where our goal is to restore the honor of Hashem. As we go through this time, and we focus and we think about all of the tila'os, all of the difficulties which have passed over the Jewish people during this time frame, during all kinds of times, during this era, during all kinds of eras, from the time of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash until this very day. So we can, so to speak, fall to the ground because of the children of Eli. Because the children of the Jewish people. Or we could fall to the ground because of the Ark of Hashem, the Aron of Hashem that was taken. And this parsha, which matters, which we read always as a chelik of the 3 weeks, this parsha of activating the Jewish people to fight, to restore things to the way they ought to be, is about the second. It's about bringing back the Aron of Hashem. It's about bringing back the name of Hashem as it is associated with the Jewish people. The name of Hashem as it is associated with the Jewish people. And you know, that's not just an external battle. That's not just a battle with the nations of the world. It's not just a battle to reclaim the Har HaBayis. It's a battle to reclaim the Bnei Yisrael as a people of God, that the Jewish people, that we, that the 13 million of us that are there in the world should have the name of Hashem upon us. Before we even need to worry about anything else. That's almost, you know, to a degree, where we need to start. When the luchos broke on Shivasar B'Tammuz, that made it that the nations of the world would be able to control us. Last week, we talked about the other side of it, which was that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Moshe Rabbeinu, chose to break the luchos rather than to see the Jewish people broken. But on the flip side of it, the vulnerability of the luchos, the fact, yes, that the luchos could be separated from the Jewish people is what made the Jewish people vulnerable. The fact that to some degree we could be disassociated from Hashem means that we can fall. So, understand this, and with this we conclude. In truth, had we held on to the luchos, because we would have been so bound up with Hashem, and Hashem never falls, so we would have never fallen. But because we had that separation, where we weren't so closely associated with Hashem, where Moshe Rabbeinu said, you know what, I even have to some degree break the connection so that the Jewish people will be able to survive. So now we're not so closely associated with Hashem, so we can go down. But it is still the only hope. When we go down separately from Hashem, it's not like Hashem stays up. It's that Hashem then has no place. Because His only place is going to be with us. And if we're dissociated from Him, so we go down and He remains out of this world, not glorified within it. We must somehow try to reassociate, to create our identity as being so completely with Hashem that when we see, la'aleinu, our difficulties, we see them for the chilul Hashem, for the desecration of Hashem's name that they are, that they bring along in their wake. And when we intensify that feeling and mourn over the churban for Him more than for us, for Him more than for us. Al hilokach aron Hashem, that the Ark of Hashem was taken. Then indeed, that association will be stronger. And as Hashem is above everything, we too will rise above everything. The Geula Shleima that will come in Herav Yameinu.